CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right, all right. It is Friday morning, CliffCentral.com. We've got Ben Simpiwe, and we're going to be joined by Sipho Mogale just now, one of the most recognizable faces in South Africa. And I'm glad that he and I had a reconnection back in the last days of 2022, and I thought, let's get him on the show. Haven't seen him for a while on the show, so it's time. All right, Simpiwe and Ben, I got to play you this quickly. Because this is probably one of the funniest videos ever. It's a guy from Zambia, and he's talking about load shedding. But you can't see him. You just see teeth in this crossing to the studio. So if you're not watching, I'll explain afterwards what happens. But the guy is reporting live from a very dark room. He's quite a dark guy, and all you see is teeth. And it's pretty hilarious. And both the reporter in the studio and he think this is hilarious, and I do too. Take a look. This is funny.
That is also very crucial. But right now we're joined by one of our reporters at the scene. Can you just tell us what is happening there right now?
Thank you very much. Let me just be quick in giving you the report what is happening in our country, Zambia. As you can see, Ndemone Kakofi Ameno, I'm reporting in the dark. Load shedding is back. Load shedding is back. And the people are complaining. They are complaining that they woke up at 12 in August that year. Okay, I'm voting so that they can change you. Take if you have a load shedding, if you have a load. So people, I don't.
It's the news reporter losing it. Like, yeah. He's just like, I'm not even going to wait. He was dead. He's like, what?
Load shedding is back. So it won't be long before that's our story on the TV as well. All right.
Isn't then, that our story already, Gareth?
It
you
is.
Started the yeah, show with is, load shedding.
No, you're right. okay, so this is another thing that came up on social media that I wanted you guys to help me address this morning. So I put up a video of Jacinda Ardern resigning. It goes like this.
And so today I'm announcing that I will not be seeking a re-election. And that my term as Prime Minister will conclude no later than the 7th of February.
All right, so she's first of all very emotional about resigning, which is fine. I mean, Margaret Thatcher was when she resigned too. I think a lot of people, you know, you get into a job, you think you're going to make a difference, you think you're doing the right thing, and maybe people don't like you or they do like you and you find yourself on your ass. That's unfortunately how politics goes. And frankly, that's also how a lot of business goes. So I put this up because I do not like Jacinda Ardern's politics. And I don't like her as a person because she's an authoritarian who told everybody in New Zealand that they had to stay in their houses no matter what. It was like an absolutely draconian regime. You think we had it tough in South Africa with Nkosi Sana telling us that we couldn't wear Crocs or buy chickens from Woolworths. I mean, this woman, this Jacinda Ardern, basically was like the most tyrannical leader in the free world. I say the free world in inverted commas. And that is objectively true. If you look at which countries enforced the strongest and the longest lockdowns, New Zealand is near the top of the list. So I put this up because I don't like authoritarians. I would have done the same for, you know, Chairman Xi, who I also despise for the same reasons, you know, welding people into their apartments and that kind of shit. I'm pro-liberty, you know, hate me for it if you must, but I'm pro-liberty. So I put this up. You know what the majority of the positive comments were? We're like, oh, yeah, we also hate Jacinda Ardern. Great. The majority of the negative comments on my Instagram were from South Africans who've moved to New Zealand who thought this was an an opportunity for them to tell me that South Africa's worse. So, but what do you think? Like, you think South Africa's better? You think Cyril's better? And I you know.
Oh, shut up, Bob.
First of all, I can't believe how stupid you would be to not understand that for me to comment on Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand is not to compare South Africa and New Zealand. I spend 5 days a week on this show complaining about our government. Okay, and I don't hold back in case you haven't listened. And if you are just following me on social media and you're missing out on the show, you're missing out because that's what we do on the show. We complain about our government in this country all the time. And I say how shit they are at their jobs because they are. And that's not to say that because I'm doing that or I'm not doing that, I can't also criticize Jacinda Ardern. So for all those dumb white South Africans who moved to New Zealand and feel that suddenly they have to support Jacinda Ardern against some guy who has a show in South Africa. You brave, brave bastards. keep it up, because I'm sure that the New Zealanders can't wait for you to jump in and defend Jacinda themselves. I'm sure they're just on tenterhooks waiting for you to get involved. Dumb,
the
right?
The one thing I will say that I saw on Twitter is a lot of South Africans were like, can ANC just take a page from her book, resign? Just go, guys. Like, if there's anything we've learned, just admit that you have failed and keep it moving. Stop trying to hold on to power for 55 years. It's not working. Like, that's what a lot of people were saying on Twitter. That's what I saw.
This is an article which was written by Roger Stone just this week on Substack. It says, the jackboot of authoritarianism tramples free speech in New Zealand. And this is a serious headline, right? In New Zealand, the current prime minister has actually banned newspapers and magazines that don't support the government's narrative. So that's the kind of reason that I hate Jacinda Ardern. That's not to say that if you live in New Zealand and you think it's a better place for you to be, that you aren't right. You might be. You might have a great life in New Zealand, but you're missing the point. To criticize her is not to criticize your decision to emigrate, you moron. Although, I mean, I'm going to say that you probably have a lot of really stupid decisions in your life, and maybe that's one that you're a bit touchy about, which is why you feel you have to jump to Jacinda Ardern's defense when I put up a video of her resigning and say how dumb she is. Go for it.
Well, obviously, when you emigrate, that's a massive commitment, and you do have to sort of, you know, be part of that. Some people do it, they clear on their lives, and that's it. They're past. Some people are trying to justify it every single day, and I would probably suggest that it's because things haven't turned out so well. So people who are going to be very, like, pro-Jacinda, authoritarian horse, Jacinda Ardern, those are the people who got there and think, oh, this place is actually quite shit, but fuck you. It's better than what I had. It's the best choice ever made.
Yeah,
and then there's
this one guy who's like, oh, yeah, you're always trying to be relevant. Stop making comments about things you know nothing about. I'm like, dude, you're an estate agent, because I went and looked at his profile just out of morbid curiosity. I'm like, you sell property. Don't tell me about relevance. Like, I haven't had a Madonna long career, but it's been about 2.5 decades, and I'm not going to go anywhere. You, in the meantime, are known to the 10 people who live in Blobergstrand. Don't tell me about relevance, okay, sweetheart? So, I mean, really, you know, fuck's sake. Let's just talk about a couple of news headlines, because there are some things going on that we need to pay attention to. So I'm not going to talk about load shedding. We've done that all week, and it's enough already. Alec Baldwin is going to be charged over the deadly shooting on that film set where he killed a person. And let's just be clear about this. Alec Baldwin shot a gun that was loaded and killed a person, and only now is he going to be charged. Like 2.5 years later. You try that, Simpiwe. You try and shoot someone and see how long it takes for you to get charged.
It's taken for me, the orange overalls already have my names on it already. Like, what? But this pretty face is going to be done for in jail. Like, yo.
Gareth, I mean, I'm not one to defend prostitutes, but Alec Baldwin was an actor. He was acting. He was pretending with the gun. Someone gave him a live gun. What happened to the person that gave him a live gun? Because if you think about it, in a professional instance, his role is to pretend and kill, pretend kill.
Right.
Okay, so he's doing the right. He's doing the right thing.
Right.
Is he being charged because he was the producer of the movie? Is he being charged because he was the director, or is he being charged because they've managed over 2 years to find out that he actually fucking hated that person so much he wanted to kill her? So I don't think we could be so flippant with this story.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's park it there for a moment. It's not the most important thing. In the news, there's a list of celebrities who have said that they will not let their children inherit any money. They want their kids to work for their own money. So among them is Marie Osmond, the U.S. singer. Daniel Craig, James Bond, says he's not going to leave any money to his kids. He said he finds the idea of inheritance distasteful. And he has $125 million, and he's not giving any of it to his kids. He says they've got to work for themselves.
I'd be up in arms if I was one of those kids. Like, what? Excuse me?
It's called tough love.
No, it's not. No. Let me tell you why. because you are this multimillionaire, you know, super wealthy parent who decided to spoil me. Okay. I've been living the best life I could have ever lived. You've, chartered jets for me, and now cruises
gonna,
for
now
me.
You're gonna
and
cut
then
me loose.
You're going to tell me you're going to leave me nothing when I'm 35. Chief, no, we're not doing that. No, no. That money belongs to me. That lifestyle. No. I was not born for struggle.
All right.
And you clearly did not allow me to struggle. So.
All right. No. Well, Simpiwe's got strong feelings on this. The other people who do are Gordon Ramsay. He says his kids are getting nothing. He's going to spend all of his money, and what he doesn't, he's going to give to charity. He says they haven't worked anywhere near hard enough to just get all this money for free.
Why?
He said,
but the question is why?
Well, because
you allowed your kids not to work.
Well, no, he has actually made his kids work, and he says they're all talented. One of them has become a television personality like her dad with her own cooking show. Huh, that's really original. The other one is too young. That, you know, they're still quite young. So he said they got to make their own fortunes, which I kind of respect, but we can have this debate just now. Sting is another one who said no money for the kids for nothing. Money for nothing. Kids get nothing for free. Warren Buffett is leaving nothing to his kids. He is worth a couple of $1 billion, and he's not giving his kids any of it. He said they've all embarked on careers from philanthropy to music to politics to environmental conservation. And he says, leave them just enough so that they can do anything, but not enough so that they can do nothing, which I think is a good line.
Smart.
You don't?
But that's actual love. I mean, this sounds like actual parenting, because I can tell you straight away, none of those parents said to those kids, no, you can't get an education. None of those parents said, I'm not saying you do. They've given the framework, okay? So let's not make out like it's completely school of hard knocks. The framework is there. They misuse it. Hmm. If they're only going to use their dad's money, that's how you get into cocaine. That's how you get into OnlyFans later on. That's how you get into thinking you're Madonna. These people are visionaries. They're absolute visionaries. I just really hope they find enough things to spend their money on. Because obviously, like, a lot of charities are bottomless pits of uselessness anyway. So I hope all those people on that list develop the most expensive, wonderful likes, hobbies that are known to man.
All right. Let us welcome Tsepo Mogale to the studio. He's in our Joburg studio this morning. Where are you, Tsepo? I can't see him for some reason.
Hey.
I can hear him. Hang on. I can hear him, but I can't see him. There he is. Tsepo, why can't we see you? Is your camera gone off there? Simpiwe, you see what you could
know.
Just see what you could do there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Hey, G-Dog, how are you, my brother?
Good, dude. Good, good. Cheers, Ben. Cheers. Ben's on his way. Tsepo, nice to hear from you. I haven't seen you yet, but nice to hear from you. How are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm lovely, my brother. How are you?
Good. It was so good to bump into you the night before New Year's Eve in Umhlanga. I mean, we were having a really good time. I think everybody was. It was a fun vibe there. And I looked around and I suddenly went, hang the fuck on. That's Tsepo Mogale. And I hadn't seen you. I hadn't seen you in probably about 4 or 5 years, right?
Fuck, man. Probably even longer.
Even longer.
Let's
just remind people while we're getting your camera sorted out. Tsepo is, of course, one of the people who was right there from the start on the Pure Monate show. He's done shows like Laugh Out Loud, Tonight with Trevor Noah, Complex, The Coconuts, as a writer as well as an actor in City Sesla and The Wild. He's performed in almost every city and town in South Africa. He's performed internationally in Botswana, Lesotho, Kenya, Uganda, the USA, England, Hong Kong, Mozambique, the Philippines, and so many other places. And these days he's got a real job in the real world, which is kind of terrifying. But what have you been up to? I mean, tell me about this real job for starters, because we didn't talk about that at all. We just laughed and drank the other night when I saw you.
I work in a finance company where we do, we finance businesses with transactions that have got contracts, tenders, purchase orders, and things like that. And then my job in that is to, you know, go out, find deals, structure deals, try to get the guys sorted with the funding.
Nice.
And try to get the deals going. Yeah.
Do you miss the world of entertainment?
Fuck no.
You know what? That's such an honest answer, because people will say, oh no, I love it and I wish I could get back into it. The reality is, once you've done a lot of this stuff and you've seen also what how you know, how much more challenging and maybe interesting and complex the world outside entertainment is, and you can charge for time that you don't have to be there. You could actually make money out of doing stuff once and then charging for it repeatedly, rather than, you know, like comedy and television where you have to actually be present to make any money.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, it's nice to work. I just saw a comment asking me if I stole Footscape. Jeez, I even forgot about that movie. you know, you can make, yeah, you know, it's nice. You work once or twice a week. You spend a lot of time on the couch, getting involved in bad habits and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you grow out of it. Look, I mean, I did it for 20 years. And then at some stage I was like, fuck it. It's enough. I can't be out at casinos, doing gigs at casinos in different towns, just getting up to bullshit. It's time to grow up.
Yeah. You still got friends who do entertainment stuff, right? I mean, you still speak to guys, who you used to work with.
No, all the time. And I mean, I've got friends, like Kahiso, like who's like one of my closest friends. You know, he does a lot of shows. No, beautiful, beautiful,
you know,
man.
Because I mean, you and I are talking like everybody knows. Kagiso Lediga is who we're talking about. So he of course is an absolute genius and one of South Africa's greatest comedians. And honestly, one of the funniest people you could ever wish to be around. He doesn't even have to 100%. Say that guy. He could just sit quietly in a room and just look at people. And listen to other people who are not being funny at all, and you would be laughing your ass off at his reactions. He's that funny.
So fucking true. One of the best people to do a road trip with, because you'll just laugh your ass off. And a great success story as well. You know, he's got a production company, and he does a lot of shows for like Netflix, Amazon, amazing, and stuff like that. So he'd invited me on set last weekend. You know, just to go see, just to check out the production. Had my kids doing some cameos and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah,
it's nice. So yeah. How many kids have we got now?
I've got two daughters, 14 and 8.
14, a daughter at 14. Have you bought a shotgun yet for the boys?
You know what? You just smother them with love, and then we just hope that, you know, they
make
do
good,
the wrong things.
They make good decisions. That's all you can 100%. Hope for.
100%. Yeah. So, you know, I'd always believed in this thing of being like a super present father.
Mm-hmm. What is going on in that studio? Are you struggling with the chair, or what's happening?
Yeah, sorry, it's my piles are there acting up. Sorry, I had to shift from one butt cheek to the other.
Your piles. It's so unfortunate. It's so uncomfortable when you have piles, right? You said you were a really involved dad, and then?
Yeah, so, you know, after our nights, and maybe one or two nights out in the coast, I just decided to reel the behavior in.
Okay.
And, you know, I was just doing some, what do they call it? Stock taking of just all the things that I did. And I remember showing up at my kids. I'd volunteered at the school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's getting
to be a security guard. Yeah. But I went from the club to the school, and I showed up in club clothes and club behavior and saying real inappropriate things to the other parents. So my kids, yeah, have banned me from coming to school. I said, you know what, we get the involved dad thing, but yeah. You know,
So dude, let's just explain to people, because I mean, I haven't had the whole of December, that was probably my only big night out. And it was so much fun because you're in another town, you know, like you're at the coast. Mm, everybody's excited for New Year. I always find like the 31st is a bit of a letdown. Just because,
no, 100%.
Because, you know, I'm used to working on that night. Plus there's huge expectation and fireworks and, you know, performances and like, you know, the countdown and everything. So it's a huge amount of pressure, but I always find the night before New Year is usually my most fun year.
Man.
And I bumped into Tsepo at this bar, and we didn't actually behave badly at all. We were pretty. I think we were having a lot of fun. I don't think we were shitty. We weren't mean to anybody. We were like buying other people drinks. I was having the best time.
No, man, and what a blessing to run into you guys, because I mean I was just just sitting. And I haven't hung out with famous white guys in a long time, you know. And then just being the cool black guy giving high fives. You know?
No, it was so much fun. So there was another friend of mine who I haven't seen in I don't know, like 8 years probably. He was a Marine, a UK Marine for a while. He went and fought in Afghanistan and a bunch of other stuff. And he arrived there with this beard, and I hardly recognized him. And then I sort of turned around and went, hang on, I know you. I was like, dude, because we used to see a lot of each other whenever I'd go to Durban. And I knew his girlfriend at the time and everything else too. And he arrived there and he's like, he looks very different now. And I mean, listen, if there's anything that changes you, it's like having to go into an active war zone. But he and I had a couple of drinks too. And I just thought, like, I got home after that night and I felt so damn good about seeing a bunch of people just before the end of the year. That I didn't expect to see. You know, those are the nights that you kind of, honestly, I'd put it in my top three nights of last year. It was so much fun.
No, 100%, 100%, 100%. And I'm so glad we had a big night, because as you said, you know, there's so much expectations on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
That you guys got me so fucked that I was recovering on the 31st and I was fine with it.
You were happy to just stay at home. So Simpiwe, Simpiwe over here, she's been thrown out of New Year's parties. And so she also tries to do her partying before New Year. I mean, you didn't this year, Simpiwe. You didn't get thrown out of anywhere.
I behaved, usual.
What does that mean, behaved?
I went to a party and I didn't get thrown out. That's behaving. Like, I had a great night.
The standards are low. As long as they don't actually pick you up and throw you out, then you're okay.
It was a great night. No one was complaining. No one said any. Okay, let's go.
Sure. Listen.
No, man. Great times. And it was so nice. I remember we reminisced over, because I mean, I used to see Gareth like a lot back in the days. We used to stay in the same area. Mm-hmm. And, the days when you were on the other radio stations, 702 days, even before 5 FM.
I've probably known you like 15 or 20 years even.
Yeah, but
maybe that long. So now that you're in a serious job, because when you started doing all the stuff in finance, people must have recognized you because you'd been on TV and you'd done all that stuff. Did they not take you seriously for a while? They were like, oh, this guy's trying his hand at this stuff, but probably he's a funny dude and he's talented and all that stuff, but he's probably a shitty, like, accountant and financial dude.
Look, I mean, if you're the money guy, everybody loves you.
Oh, okay. So you're the one. You disperse the money. You actually.
Exactly.
Then they've got to be nice to you.
So you're the one I'm supposed to know. Yeah. Like, I must just befriend you after the show and just be like, Chief, how you doing?
You disperse the money. Every joke you tell is funny.
Wow.
That cap is looking nice, though, eh? Yeah.
So, drop the cap. Drop the cap.
But Simpiwe was telling us a story about this guy who wanted to be a rapper and then eventually ended up on the streets. And people were like, well, you shouldn't have followed your dreams. What you should have done is got a degree. And I can't help thinking, like, after you've gone from entertainment into the serious world of finance and business, do you tell your daughters, for example, This stuff that, like, you used to see on TV while we were growing up is like, follow your dreams. And, you know, even if you're not the best at something, you should still give it a try, because it's all about you living your life and going down your journey and experiencing all this stuff. Actually, that's really crap advice, if you ask me. But do you agree? Like, you should tell kids, go and get a degree where you can earn the most money from that job.
Look, my dad or my parents were always used to say, have something to fall back on. And then, you know, you never you never think until there was a very bad impression of my dad. But, until the reality hits, entertainment. I mean, I've seen guys that were doing things with looking fucking horrible, like just horrible, you know, and you meet a guy And you're always like expecting him to ask you for an e-wallet or something like that.
Oh,
you know?
No.
So yeah, you know, you don't want to end up like that. And I tell guys, a lot of guys, like, guys, you know, you really must upscale. I mean, I'm a big advocate of get upscale yourself. This shit doesn't last for long. Mm. But then when you're in the middle of the thing, you think it's going to go on forever. You know, you don't think that, you know, fame is like somebody's going to press a button over, done.
But you still get, you still get recognized because you've done some high profile stuff over the years. So I'm sure people see you and they like do a double take, even if it's in the world of business.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, I think people mostly recognize me from the times when I was Mr. South Africa. So
look at you doing big things.
Listen, I was second prince in Mr. Universe. So.
Talking shit. Listen, simple. Lebang was saying on the show, Lebang does a show with me on Wednesdays, and she was saying that this is the time of year where she feels like she's got a bit of imposter syndrome. Where she gets to the office and she looks at all the things that she has to do and she realizes there are decisions that need to be made and she's the one who has to make them. And I think all of us feel, not necessarily in January, but in any job at any time, I'm sure that, you know, even Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Donald Trump get into the office and they sometimes go, what the hell? How did I get here? What the hell am I going to do? And I think in South Africa, we've got this idea that being humble is always the best thing. And sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. But this imposter syndrome is a real thing that a lot of people don't even know they suffer from. I sometimes find myself in a situation where I go, this is a big, big decision. And it could involve like a lot of other people's lives and maybe a lot of money. And I'm not sure I'm the right person to make it. How the hell did I get into this position to make this decision? I think a lot of us feel that way. But you got to jump in, right?
No, 100%. I mean, I suffered with imposter syndrome even from, you know, when I got into the music, cause from the TV, it evolved into music.
Right.
And I'd always get, you know, because like mine was like more of a comedic thing.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I got into a couple of, I wouldn't say fisticuffs, but, altercations, you know, with, your so-called hardcore oaks from Zola, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what the fuck do you know about Kwaito? That's like, fuck off, bruh. And then, you know, you put the time in and they see, okay, you're into the thing.
Right.
And then when I left all the show business and started, you know, getting meetings, you know, in the corporate or finance, you know, trying to do deals. So like what helped for me is, you know, like a lot of guys I went to varsity with, you know, were able to help me adjust and, so before I used to work at a bank before I even got into entertainment. So a lot of guys that I worked with, you know, 20 years ago, whatever, were able to give me the opportunity because they're like, look, you know, we know your ability and what, and you know, pushed on and, you know, shook it off. Now I'm confident like a motherfucker.
Yeah. It seems like it to me. I mean, you don't seem like you're someone who's suffering from that stuff anymore, but when you're in the office, do you sometimes, have fun and take the piss because people like us, I say us who are not in the world of finance. I mean, I'm always giving accountants and auditors a really hard time because I think a lot of them are very serious people. And although I've got friends who do that stuff, I always joke with them. Oh, you know, you boring pencil pushing kind of number crunching, you know, automaton, you go to the office and you sit at a desk and you sit in front of a computer the whole day doing this. And it's not like that, right? I mean, it's even in the world of finance, you're sitting with people, you're dealing with people, and it helps.
Yeah.
It helps to have a sense of humor and to not take yourself too seriously.
No, 100%. And I mean, the guys I work with, it's you've got such dynamic personalities. You know, it's sometimes I say, "Fuck it," it's crazier here in this office than in the backstage of some, you know, of some. Like it's really like really crazy shit that I see sometimes. And that we get like even just transactions that we're in where you're like, fuck, you know, I have to tell this guy to fuck off and it's going to affect 20,000 people or whatever, you know, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Listen, did you still maintain like correspondence with Trevor or did he become very, very important and like he was too busy?
No, I mean, we chatted, we chat quite a bit. But we were friends, but you know, not like tight. I mean, we traveled together. We did like a lot together,
yeah.
But I was like extremely close, with, excuse me, with Dave Kibuka.
Yes.
Who moved up with him.
He's awesome.
And they're pretty much, they stay in the same house, you know, like.
They work.
So,
they
I mean,
work,
I checked with, like, work together and all that stuff. And yeah, so I mean, I chat to Dave almost like weekly, two or three times a week. And sometimes, you know, they'll have situations, like, you know, when he was, there was a shit going on. Sometimes you get involved, you know, like mediating and, or not mediating, but just get involved.
Well, I suppose you need,
but, I mean,
you know, someone said to me a while ago, you never make new old friends. So, you got to look after those relationships, and even though people move in different directions, that's what's cool about like reconnecting with you. For me, is that like you see some people all the time, and then, you know, when you don't see them for a long time and you see them again suddenly, you go, "Oh my god, I've just remembered how much I like being around this person."
Yeah, man.
Are you, because people now, this is the way people boast in 2023 because of load shedding. They don't go, "What's your job? Where do you work? What car do you drive?" Those are the old ways we used to measure how someone's doing. Now you say to someone, "Have you got solar or a generator or like your own nuclear power plant?" Like that's how you could tell if someone's super, super rich. It's like, "Oh, you've got your own nuclear fusion reactor. That's very impressive." You know, that's how you know someone's really rolling it.
Yeah. No, look at me. I'm a vintage guy. I took it back to paraffin. So I got one of those.
A Primus. You know, a Primus.
Yeah. Oh, fucking rocket, brother.
You're living on the edge.
Hey, man.
No, the reason I'm asking is because I had the solar installed this week, and they haven't switched it on. They're doing it today. So tonight might be the first night that I get to feel what it's like, because, you know, I'm the only one in my family left who didn't have like some other way to deal with load shedding. And I'm the only one in my neighborhood because all my neighbors have got like 20 solar panels.
You were the one bringing the embarrassment.
I was the embarrassment.
The new load shedding was happening because, hey, that corner house over there.
They would see all the other houses had lights on during load shedding, either generators or solar or whatever. You'd see all the lights and then my house would be dark.
So your house was the taxi stop. That's like, house, no solar house. Dark house. Short left, dark house.
So I'm getting it tonight. So I'm when load shedding, I've checked the schedule. I'm so fucking excited. I checked the schedule and everything. So I'm looking at it.
Do you know how different your life is about to be now? Because you're not going to experience our struggles.
2000 hours tonight, 8 o'clock tonight. I'm going to be sitting at home. I'm going to be waiting. I'm going to be counting down the minutes, and it's going to stay on. And I'm going to do a little dance all on my own. I swear to God, I'm going to be so excited.
Just expect a knock on the door. Go, 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 go. Abuti Gerard, can you come use our air fryer, please?
No, they first check in on you. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Are you fine? No, we're just having a bit of load shedding. Then they just like, just move aside. In fact, it's time for my show. Can I just, you know?
Well, I mean, during the...
And then they don't leave.
During the World Cup, there were a couple of matches that I was keen to watch. And then I, you know, obviously the power went out. And I was like, maybe I should just go to my neighbors and see if they're watching it. But I didn't actually do it. I think, you know, we are like, you know, got to exercise a little bit of Ubuntu, right? Like help the people in the area. Only problem is I was always that guy who didn't have the solar. Now I'm going to be the only one left. And now tonight I'm in their league. Finally. Thank God.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
The conversation is going to be different even now, Karen. It's going to be so nice.
I feel so superior right now. I feel like I'm lording it over everybody. So as soon as that power comes on this evening, I'm going to be so chuffed with myself. You watch me strutting around Saturday morning. I'm going to be full of confidence, thinking I own the world. Watch. You've got power.
And then you're going to do the mistake of leaving your house.
Yeah.
And then as you leave, you're going to be like, load shedding.
I didn't realize. I'm so sorry. Like someone will call you and go, listen, sorry, could you just help me with something? I've got load shedding. You're like, what's that? What's load shedding? I don't understand. Anyway, so here we go. Basit Sana says, so us with the inverters are at the bottom of the barrel. Well, that's what I had here in the studio for a long time, and I only had it for the studio, so I never had it. I didn't have lights in my house. When last night, for heaven's sake, it was.
I will say, Gareth is being very humble. Yes, there's levels to it now.
Last night,
there are levels to this flex.
Last night, it was from 8 o'clock till midnight, right? That's 4 hours. So I was like, maybe it'll come back. Listen, I'm still not going to be able to. I haven't put like 200 panels on the roof. So I'm still not going to be able to use things like the oven and the geezers and the, you know.
You just want your Wi-Fi on and to be able to charge your phone.
That's it.
And lights, dude. It's so embarrassing to walk around your house with no lights on, you know. Walk around with your cell phone torch the whole time. You're like, no, guys, I'm fine. I promise. I got this, so I'll be all right. It's unbelievable. By the way, I discovered something yesterday. Simpiwe, why didn't you tell me about this? There's a setting. If you go to your torch on the like home screen, you can actually change the brightness of your torch. Did you know that? Okay.
But Gareth, that's like things that you, that's like 2 years ago.
But Simpiwe, don't forget, Gareth is a groot man. So
yeah, you see, that's the issue.
You need to walk him through these things.
Yeah, there's certain things that I just assume, it's a basic thing. Sorry. Everybody knows it. Don't need to teach anyone.
Old ass. I'm old ass.
But now that I know that you're that old, Gareth, okay, any new developments,
please.
I'll be like,
you gotta be the one who keeps me up to date. Otherwise, I'm going to be screwed.
So, Gareth, let me ask. In the white community, do you guys have that groot man culture as well?
Ooh. Listen, first of all,
young guys,
let me just be clear. There is no white community. What you get is you get like the Portuguese community, you get the Greek community.
Oh, so you guys are also just separated.
You're having a tribalist now, Gareth.
I don't know who the other whites are, what they're up to, but we haven't had a white meeting for a long time. I'll let you know when we have our next meeting.
No, you know what? Because when we were together in Umhlanga, we were the proper Grootmans. Because I mean, I remember like a lot of young guys were like, hey.
Yeah. No, we're old, dude.
Grootman,
So just explain the Grootman thing, and I'll tell you whether or not I'm aware of it.
Can I explain some period?
Okay, so it's basically, I would say, when young, it usually happens with men, when younger guys kind of pay homage to the older guys in their generation, right? So it's not just given to anybody. You know, being a Grootman is something where you did something in the community and now everyone is just like, they respect you. Mm. And when they greet you, there's a greet. It's like, Sabona Grootman. And, they're almost like, I see you and one day I want to be like you, right?
No, Gareth definitely had Grootman vibes at that place.
But but there's levels. It's the young kids acknowledging the older guys. That's the dynamic. You have to have done something that is like, wow. You don't just get it because you're a man that's old. No.
Okay. I think that's human civilization, right? From the earliest days. It's like the wise old man in the village who everybody kind of goes to for advice and they kind of look up to him and respect him. Even if he's not going on the hunt anymore because he's too old, they still ask him what he thinks.
Yeah, but you know, they like to use the word Grootman. Hey, Grootman, how are you?
Yeah.
But then you graduate from being a Grootman to being an uncle. Then you're just like an old guy.
Yeah.
Hey, so, uncle.
Yeah. In fact, uncle's for every guy that you meet. Yeah. So if I see an officer or I just see a person walking on the street, someone uncle.
Yeah. Okay.
I see.
All right.
Uncle.
New
is just
terminology.
For everyone. And then Grootman is, you've done something and they really like respect you.
Then you go from uncle to time.
By the way, I think this is.
Then you know you're fucked.
What's the last one?
Timer. Hey, Timer, how are you?
Oh, no. When they call. It's time to start. It's time to go back to the beginning of the show, Simpiwe. It's time to start calling Madonna Timer.
Yeah. She, that auntie over there. You see when they go.
Yeah, auntie. So apparently, according to Congo Chris, we should have the next white people meeting at my house because I have solo now. So, all right, we'll do that. I just think it might be, it might be a few, too many to fit in my house, but we'll see. We can make a plan. White people, I'll be sending you an email a bit later on.
Awesome. Awesome. Happy to be the BEE guy giving high fives.
Yeah. Okay.
Basitsana says, I thought Grootmans were only the thugs and taxi bosses.
No, not even, hey? Those ones, they tend to be like Nkabiam. So when they address each other, it will be like, Nkabi. And it's basically, Nkabi means hitman.
Okay.
So,
And what
but
about...
Not really. Grootman is...
And what
it's
about
like
Malume? What about Malume?
Malume is...
Malume and uncle, same thing.
Same
WhatsApp group.
Okay. Malums. When someone says Malums, just know they're just greeting you. Okay. They're trying to be respectful. That's it. But yeah.
What
is black culture right there?
Sure. What are the terms you don't want people calling you? What are the things that are not very flattering? I mean, you know, if someone calls you Grootman, it's obviously a good thing. But what are the ones like you just don't want to hear people using against you? Any that come to mind?
I guess timer. Time if you're bad. A young guy, it means that you haven't aged well.
Shame. but Sabo, on this note, I mean, like, because we were doing, you know, all of the stuff in entertainment, what, 20 years ago or whatever, you see some of the guys and they're really not looking great. Eh? They've either, they've gone very gray or they've gone very bald or they've gone very like sallow. They've got like sunken cheekbones and not looking happy. Their eyes look a bit wild. Mm. A bit of drug use is definitely present. You know, maybe like a really evil wife. They've had some shit to deal with.
Fucking divorce.
Divorce, right. Takes its toll, man.
I see Basitana brings up a good one. For women, it's Dimamzo. Yes.
Oh.
I agree with you. I'm very young, but if someone's like Dimamzo or something, it's like, no. They're just calling you a mom. And I'm like, what about me looks like a mom? We're not doing that right now.
And what about Sanele's suggestion? Mageza.
So my guess is another word for taxi driver, and yeah, you don't want to be called that.
Yeah. Even they don't want to be called that. So
And what about Parra? You don't want to be called Parra.
I don't even know what the fuck Parra is. What's Parra about?
Do you?
I think so.
I'm suburban.
I could be very wrong, guys. Me too. Like, I'm also from the burbs.
There's some ghetto shit. There's some ghetto shit coming from
Sikirine. Just claim up, please.
Right. Go.
So I know Basitana very well, but Basitana, and she's extremely suburban.
Okay.
Can you tell us what para is, Basitana? I dare you to tell us what para is.
All right. So here we go. Pablo Mohosi says, I'm having a tough time with Grootman. I'm not 30. Yo, and people are calling you that. That's impressive.
Sure.
Actually, we call other blacks, says Onkhopotse. He says, actually, we call other blacks Mlungu, which is funny enough.
That's calling you a coconut.
Oh, is that right?
In a way, but I always find they'll refer to, you know, like a black person of higher stand, of higher status. You know, if you've got more money, they'll call you Mlungu.
Oh, really?
Ngamla. In other words, they'll call you a white guy.
I've heard Ngambla, but okay. So what about this? Because this is what I thought when someone said Mageza earlier. I thought of Mageza Mpompin, which is the one who has only the tap to bath under. You know, like Mageza Mpompin. How about this one? Oh yes, okay. Here we go. Basitsana's answered your questions. Tsepo, she says yes. It's those homeless Nyaope guys.
Those and then see the next thing.
Jesus,
become more black.
That is hectic. wow.
Para, oh, I check this one. Of course.
Para is short for parasite. That's what they call scollies in KZN. Oh, yeah. Go with Cheese Boy.
Yeah, Cheese Boy. You know what? Cheese Boy was that, man. You just got to own it. If your parents are doing well and you can get cheese on your sandwiches every day, fuck it, man. Own it.
Don't feel ashamed. That comes from like the 90s, right? Cheese Boy's old.
Yeah. But it's still used today. Even me, I know it, Gareth. Yeah. If someone says you're a Cheese Boy, I'm like, you're raking in money. Yeah. Come here.
Well, I mean, Sonella says...
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. You should say that Cheese Boy wasn't very flattering. I'm just gonna take it back. When we grew up, when you could only go to schools in the township,
yeah.
And so my parents like did well, and then so all the other kids would have like plastic bags, and then we had like proper school bags, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd feel ashamed because like you're not part of the pack. You know, you've got like a proper bag, or you've got like a proper sandwich with cheese and everybody's eating, I don't know, fat cook or whatever. So it's very interesting that he'd say that Cheese Boy wasn't very flattering. But you gotta fucking own it, man. If your parents are doing well and they can afford to give you good shit, fucking own it.
Own it. What's the point? You know, there's nothing worse. Like I remember Nina Hasty saying to me, she's got this cousin who's Serbian and he has a yacht. And I remember her saying, she always criticizes other people for having privilege. And then when she visits her cousin and she's on the yacht in Croatia or whatever, she's like, Yeah, privilege is pretty damn good. I'm gonna get me some of this. You know, it's always bad from one side, but when you're in it, you're like, this is, I could get used to this. So, you know, the other thing here is this thing about Cheese Boy and everything else. A lot of people want to know whether or not, because you said your parents did well, is Mohale's city named after you? Is that, because is there any truth to that rumor?
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, look at you.
I'm owning it. No, definitely not, but definitely.
No, dude.
This is things I tell, girls at the bar. Yeah,
yeah, know, yeah. Absolutely.
Named after me.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
And then she goes home with you.
Yeah, well, I'm just, you know, being humble in this place.
Pablo says, I've learned to embrace it over the years. It's so difficult going back to the hood and being called Mlungu boy, but screw it. Yeah, listen, there's nothing harder than, like, the people who you grew up with being jealous of you. And then when you want to go back and visit family or friends or and sometimes you go back there and it's not very comfortable and they don't make it easy for you. You know, I think a lot of people in South Africa deal with that because a lot of people who really grew up with very little and then they go on and do well and they're expected not only to hand over the money, you know, the black tax stuff, but also they're expected to, like, somehow feel bad about their success, which is nonsense. You got to feel good about that.
No, 100%. You got to own it, man. You worked, you know, you stayed up at night hitting those books. Fucking own it, brother.
Listen,
can't apologize for that shit.
It's so good to have you on the show, and it's so good to catch up with you again. We'll talk soon, but I know you've got a serious, serious job to go to, and it's great to have you here. 100%. And we'll catch up again.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me, Simpiwe. Thank you so much for being a gracious screen person. What's the word for it?
Co-host is fine. Co-host will be fine. Tsepo.
Yeah, right. Awesome.
Thank
co-host.
You. Ladies and gentlemen.
I guess we're all hosting.
Mr. Tsepo Mohale, it's so good to have you here, and we will catch up again. Thanks for being part of the show this morning. There we go. What a guy. Awesome human being. All right, here's George Meany. Look at him. There's another great guy. Hello, George.
Hello, Gareth. Hello. Oh,
a bit soft.
Mic.
Yeah.
Jeez,
there we go.
That was dumb.
No. Don't panic, George. I had so many technical difficulties yesterday. So George was in the comments last week, even though he wasn't back at work and we couldn't do without him. And now he's back in person for this week's edition of the Auto Trader spot here on cliffcentral.com. Wrapping up our Friday, making a really great end to the week. So, George, what's been happening, and how was your holiday? Did you have a break? Did you have time off besides just being at home?
Stayed in Johannesburg. Haven't done that in a while.
Cool.
The funny thing is, you know, when just after Christmas, I was sitting outside, and it was eerily silent.
Yeah.
Usually there's cars driving around and you can hear noise and people are, you know, it's just that buzz was gone. And, it was quite weird. It was actually quite eerie, that sound was gone, that you don't really notice until it's gone.
You're not used to that in Joburg. That's for sure.
No. But other than that, went down to visit my mother for a couple of days, but that was about it. Other than that, spent the whole time in Johannesburg. Could only really switch off after Christmas. You know, the business still tugs on you until Christmas because we're an online platform, so we don't close.
There are no holidays. Yeah, you got to get on with it. So, Borg, what's been happening in the world of cars over the last few months?
Well, I mean, besides the stuff I'm going to bring you now, the one reality is that secondhand car prices they were falling towards the end of last year, and they're continuing to fall. Not a landslide, but they are falling. At the end of last year, if you remember, I said, if you want to sell your car, now is the time.
Ready.
And it's still now is the time, but it's becoming more and more difficult to get the prices as a consumer that you want for your car if you sell it, because everybody's under financial pressure, interest rates are rising, people are holding onto their cars longer, dealers are taking longer to sell cars. So that whole machine has just slowed down a little bit. Now, it's not binary. Don't think that the whole industry has stopped. It's not the case.
Sure.
But it's just slowed down a little bit.
All right. So, I mean, if secondhand car prices are coming down, that's very good news for people who need to buy cars. But also with electricity being as patchy as it is at the moment, has that had an effect on electric cars, especially here in South Africa, obviously, where we were dealing with load shedding every day?
I don't think there are enough electric cars in the market to answer that question. Okay. But it hasn't affected me. And I suppose the one reason is I've got solar in the house. But even if I didn't have solar in the house, I don't drive enough every single day to have to charge my car for more than about 2 hours. So we're into 4 to 6 hours of load shedding. It once or twice it has been inconvenient. I've woken up in the morning, I've forgotten to plug my car in. That was my mistake. And I've had to go down to a DC fast charger. So there are alternatives, even if you get stuck with power outages.
All right. Well, I know you're a big electric car fan, but I just thought we'd drop that in there in case there are people thinking about it. You know, maybe someone's thinking about getting an electric car for the first time. This may not be something that is that sensible if you have uninterrupted. I mean, if you have interrupted power the whole time, right?
Well, I mean, it's a reality, Gareth, and I don't want to, just because I'm an electric car fan and I love electric cars doesn't mean that there's no realities. Last night, load shedding was supposed to end in my area at 6:30. Now, when you've got solar, like I believe you have now, you know, load shedding doesn't affect you except when you want to use big ticket items like electric stove or, right. Etc. But at 6:30, as the power came back on, I was outside and the street lights came back on. Mm-hmm. Street lights went off within 20 seconds, and a substation exploded.
Oh, that is so frustrating.
And then I read a tweet that I don't know if it's City of Joburg or municipalities in general have spent 200 million rand on replacing substations.
Jeez.
And I can only imagine it's this on-off story.
It must be, because it can't be good for the substations to constantly find themselves being switched on and off. They're meant to be operating all the time on full power, right?
Exactly. So, you know, on the chat group where I live, the people along the boundary that could see the substation says, there's smoke coming out of the substation. Now you got to worry, like, is this going to explode and, you know, burn my house down? So there's secondary problems that this load shedding is causing besides the, you know, geysers failing or electronics being messed up in houses. Insurance companies must be having a horrible time.
Yeah. Unforeseen consequences.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's happening? What do you got to tell us this morning?
Yeah. So I thought I would bring the first kind of question for the year, which is, why is a car called a car?
It's funny you should even mention that, because I often watch American TV and American news, and there are lots of people in America who still say automobile.
Yeah, automobile. I mean, I didn't dig into why the word automobile exists, but I dug into the reason the word car exists. Uh-huh. And the origins of the word car actually date back to the 1300s.
Wow. They certainly didn't have cars then.
No, they didn't. And it comes from the word carros or carum, which means a wagon with two wheels.
Okay.
And then it was later on extended to define anything that could carry passengers. So, you know, you've probably heard of a lift being called a car.
Yes.
Or other things being called a car. It also comes from an old English word called cart, K-A-R-T.
Okay.
Now there's no defined connection between the word car and cart, but there are some assumptions that there is some close connection. And the word car was only used for the first time to describe an automobile, as you put it, in 1896.
Well, I'm just thinking now, like cable car is a good example too, because it's a little, it's a little kind of capsule that is pulled up by a cable, and the actual capsule is called mm-hmm. a car. So it makes sense that this was something that had origins long before the four-wheeled automobile.
Exactly. So the word car doesn't necessarily come from a four-wheeled piece of metal with an engine in it. It actually comes from the 1300s. That's where the word car comes from.
Nice.
If you ever thought about that piece of useless information, now you know.
I think about it all the time, George, but you've helped me to make sense of it. So thank God for that.
And then a gentleman in the Bonhams. I've never heard of this area. Bonhams in Paris. I don't know if you know where Bonhams is.
No, I'm afraid I don't. No use to you on this one.
Bonhams. Never heard of the area, but nonetheless, there is a coffee table going on auction. And this coffee table is a Ferrari engine. This Ferrari engine actually was a working Ferrari engine. But that's not the most interesting part of this coffee table. It's going on auction for $20,000. Now that's what, 350,000 Rand?
I thought that solar would make me popular, but if I had a coffee table with a Ferrari engine on it, I probably would be very, very, in demand. People would want to be around me because I'd be super rich. Simpiwe, do you want a coffee table with a Ferrari engine? No, absolutely not.
And then finally, dangerous places are not only on the road. So this 77-year-old man in Pennsylvania somehow got his foot stuck on the accelerator. And when he was driving into the car wash and plowed into the side of the car wash, turned his car upside down.
Oh, my God. Oh, what a mess. What a mess.
So I went and had a look at what other incidents have occurred in car washes. And I found two. One man got out of his car. Now, you know these spinning automatic car washes with the rubber belts on them.
Yeah.
A man got out of his car and while the car wash was going and got pinned between these rollers and died. I mean, don't get out of your car in a car wash.
Stupid, stupid, stupid. And George, I've seen a lot of videos, especially over the holidays, you know, people forward you these videos of like people who forget that the car is running. Or they get out and then the car starts to roll. And I don't know if you saw, but during December, they also had terrible, terrible weather in parts of the West Coast in the United States and Canada. And in Seattle, there was so much ice on the roads that you couldn't really drive on it. You know, they put chains on their tires, but a lot of those cars didn't have chains. And you actually see that the car, they reverse and then starts to slide. And it just goes whichever way the ice wants it to go and smashes into other cars. And kind of, if you're on a downhill, you're just in huge trouble there.
Yeah, you know what? Weather, especially, I've seen these ice videos where there is nothing you can do.
No.
You know, so now you got to ask yourself: do you stay in the car, or do you climb out and leave it? And I suppose that depends on whether the car's headed for a cliff. you know, because if the car's headed for a cliff, you're in trouble. Rather get out than anything.
Congo Chris says that Ferrari coffee table is a pretty useless table. You can't even put much on it. Good point. It's more of an art installation, right, George?
It's definitely an art installation. It's something that you can put in your man cave, Congo Chris.
Right, exactly. Simpiwe still doesn't like the idea of it. For some reason, you're on mute, Simpiwe. Sorry, we can't hear you. Just open that mic up there.
Hester.
There we go. Now you're on. Okay, you're on.
Cool. And then very finally, Gareth, I am off to the US of A, Texas next week. Nice. I'm going to go and attend the biggest automotive show in the world
once
a year. And it's the first time I'm going since the pandemic. So I went every year before pre-pandemic, but it's the first time I'm going since the pandemic. So next week, I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet, because the time that the show is happening, it is late at night and obviously the show is closed, but I want to give everybody a feel for what the show is about. So I might just do a recorded clip.
Sure.
And be on the show. We'll see when we get there.
No, we'd love it. I mean, I'd love to see what happens at these huge automotive shows, and especially if it's in Texas, because everything's bigger in Texas. And yeah, if you could send us some material, we'll definitely put it on.
Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to that, although the jet lag is not very nice.
No.
But how long is the show?
It's for 4 days. So it starts on the Thursday and then ends on the Sunday.
Congo Chris, again, in the comments, saying you should go and visit the Tesla factory, Borge.
Already done that, Congo Chris. The year before the pandemic, or the year before that, I went to go and visit the Tesla factory in Fremont.
He's already.
So would you get a Tesla if it came to South Africa?
Would I get a Tesla? I probably would, but I've driven a Tesla and I've been in Teslas. And I can honestly say some of the other vehicle manufacturers are actually building better quality cars than the Tesla. The tech in the Tesla is better, but the actual build quality of my Jaguar I-Pace, as an example, I think it's of better build quality than the Tesla, not just because I drive it.
No, I don't believe you. You're very subjective, George. We can't take you seriously on this front. All right.
Exactly.
I love it. Listen, guys, have an awesome weekend. By the way, just before we go, we've got an amazing pair of guests coming to join us on Monday. Take a look at this. This is exclusives, Judith Sepuma and Lebo M., both of whom are just the most amazing and talented people. They'll be on the show because they're going to be doing a concert in Dubai, which I'm very excited to talk to them about. Yes. We spoke about it with Hans Zimmer, the famous composer of like countless movie scores. And, you know, he's regarded as being one of the most brilliant and prolific musicians of his time and composers of his time. So we're going to speak to Judith Sepuma and Lebo M on Monday. Don't miss it at 7:15 a.m. Make sure you've put that in the diary too. Awesome stuff. All right. Thank you, Borge. We'll check you on Friday next week from Texas. And we look forward to that. And Simpiwe, we'll see you on Monday, 6 a.m. bright and early. Be good, everybody. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.